9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
European and UK growth slows sharply as rate hikes leave their mark. Plus, signs that Europe's startup scene is drying up.
A lot of these startups now are prioritizing cost management rather than growth at all costs. And this survival mode means that there have been a lot of cuts in a lot of companies. This may actually make things more difficult in Europe for companies and for the governments that are trying to foster growth.
And Hollywood studios pitch a fresh deal to striking writers. It's Wednesday, August 23rd. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin in Hollywood, where studios have presented a new offer to writers who have been on strike for nearly 4 months. The Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers' latest deal guarantees a minimum length of employment for writers, as well as controls around AI use, and on pay, a 13% wage boost over 3 years, and a more than 21% rise in residuals for high-budget streaming shows. The Writers Guild of America remains unswayed by the deal, however, telling its members that it failed to address existential threats to the profession. And while a continued labor impasse could jeopardize the upcoming TV season and major films, actor Bradley Whitford praised striking writers and actors at a rally yesterday for holding firm.
And we're tired of these producers going to Wall Street and crowing about their extraordinary profits to justify their obscene personal financial rewards, and then turn into us, the people who create the value of their entire lives, and them telling us that this business just doesn't work anymore. You need to pay us!
Let us get a global pulse check on inflation now. The Eurozone, UK, and Australia all released Producer Managers Index figures this morning, and Journal reporter Paul Hannon has been watching the numbers. Paul, the Australian PMI showed a quickly cooling economy, which is what the Aussie Central Bank wants as it looks to halt price rises and stop hiking rates. And yet it is the data here in Europe that is really making headlines. What are we seeing here?
The European outlook is broadly similar. The qualification might be that the slowdown is looking probably sharper than the European Central Bank or the Bank of England had expected or maybe really want. Excluding the months when the pandemic was raging in 2020, what we're seeing is the weakest activity since really the years immediately after the global financial crisis. So for the Eurozone, for example, the Purchasing Managers Index, excepting the pandemic months, is now at its lowest since April 2013. And the forward-looking components of this are also looking pretty gloomy. So what these surveys are saying is that interest rate rises are really having quite an impact now. I mean, it's taken some time, but there's no question that they're really biting.
And Paul, when you mention a slowdown as fast as this one, could the Eurozone and UK be at risk of tipping into recession?
Yeah, I mean, this has always been the risk. These central banks are moving at a very high speed by their standards. They admit that there's a great deal of uncertainty. They admit that it takes time for interest rates to really impact activity. So there was always a possibility that this would be overdone. It's not absolutely clear at this stage that that's what's happening, but these surveys will give central bankers in Europe pause for thought. I mean, there were already signs that they were thinking about bringing this sequence of rate hikes to a close. This survey may make that a more pressing question for them.
That was Journal reporter Paul Hannon. And voters eager to assess the 2024 cast of Republican presidential hopefuls will get their shot tonight. At 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 GOP candidates, including Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former VP Mike Pence, have qualified to appear on a Fox News-hosted debate in Wisconsin, though their challenge will be grabbing the spotlight from front-runner Donald Trump, who is skipping the event in favor of a pre-taped interview with Tucker Carlson that's airing at the same time. You can follow live debate analysis on WSJ.com starting at 5 p.m. Eastern. Coming up, European startups are hunkering down as venture capital funding shrivels. We'll look at what that means for the continent's hopes of fostering new businesses after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Plus, save time by completing security questionnaires with Vanta AI. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ. That's VANTA.com/WSJ.
Europe's venture capital scene is drying up. According to PitchBook data, the amount of VC funds invested in Europe dropped by 61% in the first half of this year compared to 2022. And journal reporter Eric Silvers, based in Milan, says there are few signs of that changing through year's end. Eric, tell us what exactly is going on here that's led to this massive drop in VC funding.
You know, there's a few factors going on. I mean, one thing for sure is the sluggish economic growth that we've seen around the world. If you've got a startup, almost no matter what you're doing, it's a lot better to be doing it with strong economic growth. So there's that. But there's another factor, another very important factor, and that is the high interest rates. The interest rates, as we all know, have been rising very quickly. And that has given investors other options. People who might have invested in venture capital and asked for some VC firm to invest for them now are wondering, you know, maybe I should be investing in some bonds, some relatively safe bonds, maybe are giving me 5, 6, 7, 8%. There's money market accounts that are returning decent yields at the moment. So whereas a few years ago, people were desperate for yield, startups were commanding very high valuations, the situation has sort of flipped.
And we should note venture capital funding has also dropped in the U.S., but there is something different about the European venture scene and who it's composed of, right, that is making this drop a bit more pronounced now.
Sure. Well, first of all, it's more pronounced here than we've seen in the U.S. And also one interesting wrinkle that I think you're alluding to is that family offices here in Europe have traditionally sought out more safe investments. But during the period of ultra low interest rates, they were increasingly moving towards startups. And these were investors that had traditionally been a little bit more cautious. They had sunk a lot of money in recent years into VC firms and sometimes directly into startups. And now family offices, these are sort of investment firms that are investing specifically for one family or for a few families, and they're reverting to the roots. You know, the families, sometimes they have specific things that they're interested in, which may be real estate, the education sector, or whatever it may be.
All right, so a more instinctively conservative VC set in Europe, sort of reverting to the norm here. What does that mean for individual startups and for the gap between Europe and the U.S. in terms of startup funding that had begun to shrink in recent years? I imagine that gap could begin to widen again.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of these startups now are prioritizing cost management rather than growth at all costs, which is what we expect from startups, at least for the first couple years of their existence. So that's changed. And this survival mode means that, you know, there have been a lot of cuts in a lot of companies. Of course, there are going to be some companies that are always hiring. But for example, tech jobs in Germany, the number of tech jobs that are advertised right now at this particular moment are half as many as a year ago. So that's another data point that sort of shows the situation here right now.
Just hearing about that in the tech world, Eric, how does this affect Europe's aspirations to try and leave behind a bit of its traditional reliance on established companies? Is this a setback for efforts to cultivate new champions, if you will, in various European industries?
Here in Europe, often there's a lot of hand-wringing. And if we look at Google, Amazon, and so on, why are they all being founded in the U.S. and not over here? So this may actually make things more difficult over here in Europe for companies and for the governments that are trying to foster growth. Europe may find itself relying more and more on these big, long-established companies, sometimes state-owned, that have, to a certain extent, define the European economy more than similar companies do in the U.S.
And finally, Eric, for startups that are maybe prioritizing cost cutting now over growth, is there not a potential silver lining here for them if they are able to weather this current funding drought? Could they emerge from all of this leaner, more attractive targets for VC funding?
Absolutely. We spoke with one VC, a man named Kamal Hassan. He's a founding partner at a VC firm called Loyal VC. And he was telling us exactly that, that this is a buying opportunity because, of course, companies still need to get funding, but the valuations are much lower. Basically, they're making lots and lots of investments. They have more than 300 startups in their portfolio, which is a lot for a VC firm. They make very small bets. Their initial investment is only $10,000, which is really small for an initial VC investment. And he's saying, we're getting more for our money right now, so we're making the most of this right now.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Silvers. Eric, thanks so much for bringing us this story.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
The Biden administration is rolling out a new student loan relief plan. The income-driven repayment program Saving on a Valuable Education means that borrowers with small initial balances can get debt canceled in 10 years, while all balances are forgiven in 20 years. President Biden said the SAVE plan reduces payments to just 5% of disposable income, down from the current 10%.
That's going to save the typical borrower around $1,000 a year. It's going to give borrowers a little bit more breathing room. And if your annual income is less than $30,000, your monthly payment will be zero until it gets above $30,000. As long as you pay what you owe under this plan, you'll no longer see your loan balance grow because of unpaid interest. Under the SAVE plan, monthly payments are based on your income, not your student loan balance.
Biden has argued that too many Americans are saddled with too much loan debt. But the administration's proposals have encountered significant political and legal opposition, most notably in June, when the Supreme Court struck down plans to cancel hundreds of billions of dollars in federal student loan debt. The dismantling of bankrupt trucker Yellow is unleashing a bidding war in the tight supply chain market. Dozens of freight terminals are now up for grabs, with Old Dominion Freight Line bidding $1.5 billion for Yellow's network of terminals, surpassing an earlier offer from rival trucker Estes Express Lines. Both bids exceed the value Yellow placed on its real estate in its bankruptcy filing, and the company now expects to raise enough funds to repay its creditors. That includes a $700 million COVID-era loan from the U.S. government. Flights to Moscow were once again suspended overnight after a series of drone strikes in Russia. It is the sixth consecutive night of aerial attacks on the Russian capital, with Kremlin officials blaming Ukraine. And while Kyiv hasn't admitted to the attacks, our reporter Matthew Luxmore in the Ukrainian capital says the commander of Ukraine's armed forces is trying to bring the war home to Russians.
Russia is trying to push forward on three fronts in the northeast and also in the east of Ukraine, in the Donbas region. They're not having much success. More than anything, it's a kind of push to try and divert Ukrainian forces from their main campaign in the south, because it's in the south that Ukraine is really trying to bisect the Russian army there and try and push south towards the Azov Sea.
Meanwhile, Luxmore told me that the Ukrainian advance is proving slow and bloody.
At this stage of the counteroffensive, after more than 2 months of Ukraine trying to take back territory, and they still haven't really reached Russia's main defensive lines and Russia's very, very deep fortifications. And the biggest obstacle for Ukraine is the enormous Russian minefields that they have to cross. And in the space of the next 6 weeks or so, it's going to be a lot harder still for Ukraine to move forward, because weather conditions will change, the autumn rains will come, and it'll be much harder for Ukraine to move forward.
And after wildfires have devastated areas of Hawaii, Greece, and Canada, scientists now have more bad news that we should get used to it. Research from a group of climate scientists has found that extreme weather conditions that feed into wildfires are twice as likely to occur and are up to 50% more intense as the result of climate warming. July was Earth's hottest month on record, and 2023 is now on track to become the hottest year in history, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And finally, Zara, Uniqlo, and H&M make clothes that are sometimes so cheap it can feel easier to throw them away instead of fixing them up. But as the fashion industry faces growing environmental scrutiny from consumers and regulators, they're now encouraging consumers to patch up their old clothes via either in-house or third-party services for a price. WSJ editor Peter Stiff told us whether those repair schemes will help fast fashion brands to mend their image too.
It's hard to say, certainly not in the short term. And these efforts to repair customers' clothes are, as so far, quite small, only in a few shops or in certain markets. At the moment, we're more in the exploratory stage. For the time being, I'm sure these companies' business models will broadly remain the same, which is to say they want to sell lots of new clothes to lots more people, meaning that the impact on the environmental footprint will be most likely negligible. But watch this space.
And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. Today's show was produced by Kate Bullivant and Mohsen Ali. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff, and I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back tonight with a new show, and until then, thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.